Our scripture this morning is 1 Samuel chapter 7. 1 Samuel chapter 7. The message is entitled Ebenezer.
So, if you ever wonder what Ebenezer was, you're singing, come the thought of every blessing. Today, if you don't already know, you're going to find out what Ebenezer is.
Starting the first verse. So the men of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord. They took it to Abinadab's house on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to guard the ark of the Lord. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath Jearim. And all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistine, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Towns from Ekron to Gath that the Philistines had captured from Israel were restored to her, and Israel delivered the neighboring territory from the power of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life, from year to year. He went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, which was his home. And there he also judged Israel. And he built an altar there to the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word. Inerrant, insufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purpose for which you send it out. Lord, as I read so many sermons from days gone by, they seem ordinary. I look at them and I compare myself and I say, I can preach as well as that, if not better. Why did they have such a powerful effect? Why were so many souls gathered into the church? Or the answer is you. The Holy Spirit moved and hearts responded. That is our desire this day and each day. May the glory be yours and yours alone. Do not let me get in your way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Ark of the Covenant represented, and in many ways presented, the presence of God. And when the Israelites went out to battle their enemies and the enemies of God, the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the forefront of the army. God went with them. But because of the nation's apostasy, which means falling away from the one true God, the Ark of the Covenant was captured by the Philistines. Now, the Israelites fell under the rule and oppression of these Philistines, and they continued their wayward ways of worshiping the foreign gods of that land. Even in this fallen state, they knew in their hearts what must be done. They must return to the Lord. They must return to the Lord with all their hearts and serve him only. They must be wholehearted and single-hearted. And so must we be. You might rightly argue that the Ark of the Covenant had been returned to Israel. That was the first verse we read here. It was returned because the Lord God had inflicted the Philistines with plagues and death and struck down the gods of their temple, and not because of any merit on the part of Israel. For the Israelites, the presence of God seemed to have been withdrawn. The Ark of the Covenant was back in Israel, but it was kind of parked out of the way. Have we done that with God? Parked him out of the way? The people were not blessed by the presence of the Lord Almighty. When the people have lost their love of God, when they have lost their fear of God, the Almighty will not be with them. When we kick God out of our courts and out of our schools, we should not be surprised when evil triumphs. Witnesses no longer swear in the Bible to tell the truth, so help me God. The Ten Commandments are being removed from the public sector. Even in our churches, we have created a new God to replace the perfectly holy, righteous God of the Bible, the God that hates sin and hates the wicked. Yes, God is love, but God is so much more. What will it take to bring our nation back to our senses? What will it take to wake us up? Fire and deadly building collapses and COVID-19 and its variants and ever-increasing violence in our streets and moral decay, they may all be signs that God is displeased. We need to have prophets like Samuel. It's described here in 1 Samuel 3. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. We need prophets who know God, and we need prophets who preach God's word. Because of Samuel and God working through Samuel, the whole house of Israel heard and responded. All the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. Some translations says they lamented after the Lord. So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths. The Ashtoreths were their fertility gods, which led to all kinds of sexual malpractice. And then they served the Lord only. They had to put aside the foreign gods, and then they could serve the Lord only. Notice how critical it is that we cannot worship the one true God along with anything else. It was a problem for the Israelites, and it's a problem for Christians today. In today's scripture, we find Samuel leading his nation in acts of penitence and restoration. Five things are done to bring this about. Water is drawn and poured out on the ground before the Lord. They fasted, they confessed. As an intercessor, Samuel cried out to the Lord. Think of this crying out as fervent prayer. And a suckling lamb was sacrificed. Remember that these things are done after repentance, turning away from their idols and turning to the Most High God. Now, before we look at each one of these actions, let us review the reflection questions. I believe they're on the back of the bulletin this week. And these are from the book Praying with Fire, Seeking His Presence Through the Revival Passages of Scripture by Mark Harden. Number one, no amount of tears, prayers, or protest is a substitute for honest confession. In confession, we get honest with ourselves and our God. Now, obviously, God already knows what we need to confess. But in our vocalizing it to God, something happens within us. Why is such honesty difficult? Is there any known sin in your life? Pet sins, willful sins, hidden sins. Things you tolerate but know are wrong. Why? And what are they? Do you engage in selective obedience? What does God want you to do about these situations? When was the last time you confessed your sin to others? When was the last time you asked anyone to pray for you, being specific about an area of need? Be quiet before the Lord. What is he saying to you today? These questions are tied directly to the actions of Samuel and the people. They are part of our getting right with our God. Remember how important confession is to spiritual breathing. It is our exhaling, getting rid of the CO2, the carbon dioxide, the waste product, the impure. That's confession. That's exhaling. And we cannot inhale without exhaling. And inhaling is being infilled by God, the Holy Spirit. Both of these are required and conducted by faith. Mark Harden writes, confession is an experience God allows us to go through so we can walk in communion with him. In revival, confession of sin becomes the norm. In scripture, we are told to confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9. To confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, which you know because you've already marked that in your Bible. And to confess our trespasses to one another, James 5, verse 16. In the Greek, to confess to God means to agree with God or to say the same thing as God says. It means not merely confessing intellectually, but rather a confession wrought by the convicting of God, the Holy Spirit, knowing that we have wronged our God. Confession of sin is not easy. Our flesh fights against it. I know it does for me. Our pride wants to hold on to our dignity or even our sin. To walk with God, however, we must learn to daily confess our sin. What is the meaning behind the pouring out of the water before the Lord? We need to remember how important water was in that geographic region. It was in short supply. Its availability depended on the seasons. It depended on rain from heaven, from God. The second chapter of Samuel helps us to understand this idea of the water being poured out onto the ground. In 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 14, like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be recovered, so we must die. But God does not take away life. Instead, he devises ways so that a banished person may not remain estranged from him. J.P. Lane explains, it is rather a symbolic act of penitence that is here described. Water, which is poured out and disappears, is a frequent image of the state of dissolution and melting away, which characterizes human life, especially on its inner side, and is used sometimes of particular aspects of life, sometimes of the whole personality. So, This is one of the prayer stations that we will use during our altar call. And there's three containers of water there. And I'm going to ask each person to pour out some of the water into the bowl. And as we do this and then pray afterwards, consider what we're holding back from God, right? What needs to die within us? What needs to be poured out of us that would give the Lord full access to our heart, right? Think about those things, those barriers that we've created to God, and pour them out symbolically into that bowl. Now, the fasting mentioned in our text most likely, of course, refers to fasting from food. The average person then did not have an abundance of food like we do in our culture. Giving up any food was a serious sacrifice. Most of us would likely benefit physically and spiritually from fasting from food, but it wouldn't be that much of a sacrifice. Let us do a little self-examination. What would you have to give up that would be something of a sacrifice? What do you spend a lot of time doing that could be spent in activities to enhance your faith?
Now, our fasting prayer station is over here by the organ. There's post-it notes and pens. It asks, what will you give up this week fasting for your faith, right? Now, so you can write on the post-it note, and I've already put one up here for myself. I wrote on the sticky side, which you're welcome to do, so that what you're choosing to fast from is not seen, right? For privacy, but it's still there. The Lord sees it, and it will help you be committed in your fasting this week. So write it on the note, post it in the circle, and spend time in the prayer time asking God to help you honor this commitment.
As Christians, we see Samuel's sacrificing the suckling lamb in a different light than the Israelites, right? They did not have the blessing of God's revelation through Jesus. The Philistines are representative of all that opposes God. They are oppressive idolaters and enemies of God's chosen people. In the midst of Israel's national repentance, the Philistines gathered to strike them down. While the men of Israel must take up arms and do their part, there could be no doubt that it was Yahweh, the God of Israel, that brought victory. Yes, sooner or later, God will thunder against those that oppose him. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. While the Philistines represent evil, the Lord Jesus is the goodness, mercy, and love of God. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He takes away our sin and replaces it with his righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 and 57. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see on the altar area behind me, a wooden cross with a lamb to remind us of what the Son of God has done for us. Let us make prayers of confession. And when we are at the altar rail, be reminded of Christ's sacrifice. See the Ebenezers along the altar floor and on the pulpit. And Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." Ebenezer means stone of help. Represents and is a reminder of God, what God has done, and that God will do again. Now, of course, Ebenezer was in our opening hymn. There's another hymn called, "Here I'll Raise My Ebenezer. Here I'll Raise My Ebenezer. Hither by thine help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, I love the Lord. Hallelujah, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, we're on our journey home." In case you didn't know it, we are on our journey home. Some of us are closer than others, but only the Lord knows that day. One commentator wrote, "Creating occasions for remembering is important in life. Often we receive stability in our present and hope for our future as we are reminded how God has dealt with us in the past. This is why one aspect of worship should always be remembering what God has done for us. This creates praise that fortifies us against temptation. Praise strengthens us against temptation. Often, an individual can work out of a time of discouragement simply by stopping to remember all the blessings God has brought into his or her life." Now, this is why I prepared these 30 sample Ebenezers. You remember when we had our Tuesday night free community dinners? We did that for like 3.5 years. These stones were where the current sidewalk up the ramp were. So these are actually stones from the church. We saved them. I brushed them, sprayed them with a hose, wiped them with bleach, and then laminated the cards and glued the cards onto them. Well, hand laminated the cards. I glued them on. And each one of you can take one home. They're heavy. So if you need me to carry it out there, I'll be glad to do it. So you can take one home and put it someplace that will often remind you that God is our stone of help. Now, I don't know why I convinced myself putting them on that the top side of the stone was a good thing. It turns out that if that comes off, the laminated card, glue it back onto the back, which is a much smoother surface. Be smarter than I was. Learn from my mistakes. So, the Lord has been our help in the past, and the Lord will be our help in the future. Now, in the same manner that Samuel prayed, let me offer up a scriptural prayer for revival from the book Praying with Fire. Let us pray. Faithful Father, just as in Samuel's day, it seems as if your word is rare. There's so much media-weakened gospel. But Lord, we long for a fresh word from you. Father, to lament means to feel or express sorrow or regret. Just as Israel lamented after you, teach us to mourn aloud, to lament after you. And teach us what it means to return to you with all our heart. Teach us what we must put away and what we must put off and put on. Father, show us how to prepare our heart for you. Oh, Father, send revival. Stir honest confession in our souls. Teach us to deny ourselves so we can spend time seeking you in prayer. Teach us to fast, not only from food, but from time robbers such as television and the internet. Intensify our desperation for you. Oh, God, we miss you. We are the ones who have moved away. Restore us, Lord. Show us our sin. We confess our sin. We confess our indifference to you. Show us how to return to you with all our heart. Show us the things of the world that we have embraced that are sin. Lord, let us not be afraid of the world as Israel was, but let us be wise, discerning, and cautious of the world. Let us know the great need we have to be open and honest with others, to ask others to pray for us. It is pride when we fail to do this. Forgive us, Father, as Samuel offered a sacrifice and cried out to you, "Let me truly understand Jesus Christ was the Lamb sacrificed, and by his blood we have access to you." Teach us what it is to sacrifice unto you. Lord, move mightily on behalf of your people. Answer us as we sacrifice to you. Father, we pray you will consume those who oppose you, just as you did the Philistines in Samuel's day. Teach us to acknowledge your mighty acts. Let us set up stones of remembrance, markers of your help, deliverance, and your great faithfulness. May we recognize your voice, your promptings, and help us obey quickly. Show us anyone we need to go to and seek forgiveness or to make restitution. Father, hear our confession and restore us. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen.